since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. Hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
Brenda Belongi. You're furiously poking buttons and moving levers over there,
yeah,
dear.
It looks like somebody grabbed your microphone and broke it.
It's okay. It's not busted. Rather than make a lot of noise while we're on the air during the break, I'll fix it. Yeah, it's very fixable. It's not going to cause a problem right now.
These studio mics are made by Electro Voice, which is a long-time manufacturer of very high-quality microphones. They've been at it for longer than a lot of people, and these are what's called an RE20 mic. They're about $500 a pop.
And they're suspended in this little holder.
They're in a holder with rubber bands, essentially, holding it in place. And
what has come loose?
One of them came off completely, and it's just sort of dangling there. So this we discover with seconds before airtime.
It's no problem. I don't plan on banging the microphone, so won't be able to really tell the difference.
Welcome to the program with Goodies, Gadgets, Gizmos, Tech News You Can Use. Of course, brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. We are live, because if we were not live, we would have discovered the problem with the microphone and fixed it. And you would have never heard a thing, because it would have been all on tape, or actually digital media. We still use words like dialing the phone and getting it on tape, or shooting film.
Isn't that bizarre?
These are terms that are in our lexicon.
We have a lot of everyday terms that are nautical terms that don't have a particular meaning, like a shot across the bow, which is a reference to in warfare, don't go any further type of thing, or something to get another ship's attention. But we talk about that in interpersonal relationships. We talk about that when we're in a car. We talk about it in all kinds of contexts.
When you are taken aback, mm-hmm. or you give someone leeway.
Right.
Show them the ropes.
Yeah. Those are all nautical origin terms.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Nelson's Navy. If you want to read a great series of books, and it's a long series, it'll keep you busy for quite a while, and maybe you have read Horatio Hornblower's book, the C.F. Who wrote
Forster.
C.F. Forster's Hornblower series as a kid. There is a series of books by the late Patrick O'Brien. And if you are into any nautical type stuff, this is authentic, deeply researched, very down-to-earth and at times gritty, because it talks about the food and conditions that those sailors lived in.
Yep, actually lived in. He did a lot of research based on letters and journals and logs that were written. The language of the time is used in the book. It's a pretty interesting.
Ships of wood and men of iron, was as the saying went. The British Navy had, the British Navy had crappy ships, but they had superior crews.
Yes, they did. The French and the Spanish had beautiful ships, but they weren't as good as sailors as the British, partly because they were always blockaded in by the British.
Yeah, and they didn't get out there and get all dirty, and the Dutch, of course, were superior sailors, and they
They too, yes.
Ran a lot of the trade around the world in that time period, and they built some pretty amazing warships. But if you want a really good curl up for days at a time read, get the Aubrey, how do you pronounce this, the Maturin?
Maturin, yes.
Maturin
I think
series,
that's how it's said, yes.
By Patrick O'Brien, which has nothing to do with tech, but of course, if you want the, because it's like 21 books or something like that.
20, I believe.
Yeah. If you get them on your Kindle, you can pack the whole series around
right.
with you and you go on vacation, which I love taking the Kindle. Again, I use the Kindle app, so I have it on my iPad, I have it on my phone, and I have it on my Galaxy Tab E. So no matter, and I have it on my regular old antiquated Kindle Fire. But if I pull up a book, no matter where I stop off, you know, and I pick up the next device, the book is where I left off. Which
right.
is pretty darn cool.
That is pretty cool. I've used that as well. I have a Kindle book that I was reading at home on my Kindle, but then I was somewhere else, and I didn't want to pack my Kindle with me. I was traveling very light.
Yeah, when all you
I put the app on my phone, and you can tap right into it on my smartphone.
It
takes a data plan.
Yeah, I like paper books, too, but when you are traveling and all you've got is the overhead bin, space becomes a big deal.
Well, and just keeping track of all these devices, and one less thing people can rip off, and a few other things like that,
yeah,
you know?
So.
The movie Master and Commander is a screenplay.
With Russell Crowe.
With yeah. Russell Crowe. Is a screenplay of a compilation, actually, of a couple of the books.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of starts with the first one. The title of the book is Master and Commander. But the actual storyline goes into some books that are much further down the list, but that's okay. It's still pretty interesting, and it's well done. The characters are captured quite well, especially Killick, the Captain Stewart, who is just quite this sourpuss dude. The actor that plays him does a very good job.
I would love to see, and I this is negotiated somewhere, and it's probably hung up in rights,
mm-hmm.
Assignments, production rights, but I would love to see somebody do a mini-series of the whole range of books.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? They did that for Horatio Hornblower. I believe they did that on PBS. It was a British production.
I would when they're all done with that, you know, dragons and spaceships and all that sort of thing, I would love to see HBO or Netflix or one of them take on an epic set at sea series. We look forward a lot, and we do the Gee Whiz, but these sea we look where we came from.
And they used to be very expensive to produce, but with amount of computer-generated graphics that you can do now and fake stuff in, if you will, that while that's not cheap, having CG in there, it is makes it possible to recreate things that you can't do out, you know, on the open mm-hmm. ocean or whatever. Those boats just don't exist, and you can't exactly destroy the boats like you can cars.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be too good. So it's, you know, the naval things are somewhat like Westerns in a way.
Mm-hmm.
That's that same kind of action-adventure type of thing.
The opening scenes to the movie Star Trek Generations. I know we have a few Trekkies in our midst. You're listening to the show.
I thought it was Trekkers now.
The terms vary. It was Trekkie used to be an insult, and then the folks embraced it. Anyway, the movie Generations was handed off between Kirk and Picard
mm-hmm.
as the captain.
Right.
Starts off in a holodeck scene, and I believe...
I thought it was a wedding.
No. This starts off with... Worf becoming an officer aboard
okay,
the
that's
sailing
it. It's not
ship.
A wedding, yeah. That is a real ship.
And I believe...
It's the Lady Washington.
It is the Lady Washington, which we were just looking at a couple of weeks ago
mm-hmm.
because it's homeported up in
Grays Harbor. Washington.
And it tours the West Coast.
Yep.
And there's some technology involved in that. You can keep up with their movements. on the website. Of course, they use modern navigation gear.
Right, and they also are required to have things like generators and motors on board. But they sail as much as possible to have that authentic. In a way, they're a motor sailor by today's standards. But they, while at sea, they try to definitely be a sailing ship of old in terms of propulsion. But they are required by the Coast Guard to have certain other equipment on board. So there are some modern amenities when it comes to power and things like that.
But if you get the chance, go. These ships are kept up with absolute loving care. They have people in each port of call who volunteer to do things like make grocery runs.
Do their laundry.
Yeah, get their laundry cut up.
Show them where to get a haircut.
Yeah, exactly.
Or come and do a haircut.
We were very fortunate that we just happened to pull into Coos Bay, Oregon, and saw the masts down at the...
those sure look familiar.
Yeah, down at the waterfront. And lo and behold, it was both the Hawaiian Chieftain and the Lady Washington, which are just beautifully restored sailing vessels. The days of tall ships.
Yes, the days of tall ships. They cruise together. You can follow them online. They do have a regular schedule every year up and down the West Coast. And you can actually volunteer to crew. You have to try out for that. But you can also cruise with them, various lengths of visits from port to port, and spend a few days on board with them while they're at sea. And that could be quite the adventure. I don't believe you really have to do anything other than pay, of course. But that's on our bucket list, is to do some of that.
Yeah, yeah. So this... We talk mostly tech, but we divert off into various rabbit trails, as suits us, since it's our show. but Brenda stumbled across something just this morning. A problem presented itself.
Oh, it's been there for several days.
Over the last several days, and she was raging at her computer. And now she found, if you're using the Chrome browser, well, Chrome has done some updates. They're always all doing updates. I put a Windows PC that had been in a box for quite some time back online, and it was...
A long time.
Yeah, it takes a while for Windows 10 to... Especially
lots
in a,
of updates.
Especially in a micro PC that essentially looks like a gigantic flash drive. It's called a Wintel Pocket PC, and it's like an oversized flash drive. It's actually a full PC that you can stuff in your pocket and take with you. You plug it into an HDMI port, Bluetooth in a keyboard and mouse, and you can check on your email and all that stuff without using the hotel system where somebody might get into your stuff. But it took the better part of 2 hours to get it back up to date.
That just had a lot of catching up to do. So here's the deal. Recently, it wasn't Google browser. It was Gmail has a new interface, if you want to call it that. It has a new look. New and improved, supposedly. And when logging into Gmail on a computer, laptop, desktop, both for me, not your tablet. The tablet, I don't know if the tablet's going to develop this problem or not. But I sort of semi-permanently logged in on my tablet. So I'm not having this problem on my tablet, but I did on desktops and laptops. When you go to log into your Gmail, it'll log you in and then immediately kick you right back out. The second time you log in, it keeps you in there. And this is very annoying. Who wants to type their password in twice? Who wants the inconvenience of being kicked out and then have to log back in? So being frustrated with this and knowing that they had just changed this interface... I tried to take a page out of Bob's book. He should be proud of me. Yeah, I was grumbling and whatever, but I knew that I couldn't be the only one having this problem, and certainly I was not. I just Googled things, and we'll talk about how to Google things here in a second. Yeah, and I just Googled that up, and I got onto a forum that had a clue. You have to wade through some stuff a lot of times. And the trick in that case, if you're having this problem, go into your... settings and clear your cache, clear your cookies, clear all that stuff. And then they also said go into your extensions, which are apps that are available, and clean up the ones that you haven't used for quite a while. That may help, although I suspect it's the cookies issue. Reboot your computer after that. You don't have to shut it down, but just reboot it, and that should solve the problem, and it certainly did for me. And it did for a couple other people in the forum that I was reading as well. So if you don't know how to do that, you can also Google how to clear the cookies. So when you Google something, Bob, you're an artist at this.
Well, we have a friend who, when she describes a situation or an object, she birdwalks all over it. And when you're dealing with a search engine, you have to figure out...
Be cryptic. Direct.
Yeah, you have to be as direct as possible. The internet is a two-year-old. They don't do nuances.
Right,
they can't guess what you're trying to tell them.
Right. It's key words that you're looking for. And if you don't. So in this case, I said, you could type in double lock on Gmail or something like that. You don't even have to give it a sentence. It doesn't care about verbs, prepositions, and all that stuff. It doesn't care.
Right.
It will look for keywords. So double lock on Gmail is all you'd have to do, and then you would get all kinds of hits with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think I used another method, but I found it, I had it close enough that I was able to find some things. And you may have to wade through a few selections. I always avoid the ones that are
ads.
Often
the very first one is an ad supported,
I skip those. Or you look for the one that's from the actual company you're looking for, like your bank or something like that. So movie theaters, you know, all kinds of things like that you can tap in.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that it's not some site that's meant to redirect you somewhere else. Make sure it's the company that you really want to deal with. But,
correct.
Or you're exploring things. If things get funky and the page starts to get slow to load and it wants you to click on this and that, just get out of it.
Yeah.
That's just junky
Never
stuff.
Never accept an offer to put a video player on your desktop.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's
I guarantee
right
that is going to infect your computer, because your browser has all the video player you need.
Right.
But time after time, especially these sites that have pop-ups, and a lot of them aren't necessarily malicious. They're annoying, and they load you down with garbage because those people who place the ads to divert you off down these various rabbit trails are paying the freight for these websites to be on in the first place. Case in point, I went to download a piece of freeware, and the first thing that you see is this great big download button. But read off to the side.
Right, what
and
that means.
It's a Windows cleanup utility.
Yeah, right, that you don't need.
That you don't really need, nor do
you
want that.
Right.
So when you go to one of these free software sites, or shareware sites is what we used to call them. Most of them are called open source or something similar. Look around, before you click anything, look around for the download, the real download button, as opposed to the great big green look at me shiny thing.
Right. Read carefully. Back to surfing or Googling something. Google, of course, has become a verb.
Yeah.
And I hate Bing. I'll go to Google from Bing, which must annoy my employer, but that's beside the point. Everybody puts that on there. If you don't succeed at first when you're trying to find something,
reorder the words.
Reorder the words, use different words, and you can scan through the selections that come up, the hits that come up. And maybe it's like, oh, you can follow rabbit trails. This does take a little time. You're not necessarily instantly going to find the solution. But Bob is so good at this that he usually, in the first five things that come back, there's what he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So it just takes practice.
Sometimes it's a page, and sometimes it's a discussion board, forum board.
Right.
And if you drill down through, if you know how threads work in forum boards, you can find solutions fairly fast, and you'll discover
that's what happened to me.
You're not the only one who has had this issue.
Exactly. So kind of scan through and look for substantive solutions. If you're not liking what you're seeing, that people are just complaining and whatever, well, move on to the next one. So that's why I say it does take a little time, and you have to follow a few rabbit trails sometimes for whatever it is that you're looking for. And in fact, there was a Google search you did last year that you stumbled upon a very useful thing for us, the pedestal to mount our radar on the boat.
Oh,
and
yes.
It was just some random summer or another you were doing, and you followed the rabbit trail, and it's like, oh, looky here, this is perfect.
Right.
We didn't even know that existed.
Couldn't find and it was a vendor I'd never heard of.
Right.
And we
did a little homework on them. And
yeah, and it was a lot less than I could have ordered it from our normal source, but it would have been like $800. And I think we got it for
half that.
Yeah. I think it was right around $300.
Yeah.
And it works perfectly.
It's same company and whatever, and it's reasonably well built. So we did a little homework before we purchased, and people are like very satisfied with the products. And so this is the power of the web in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very pleased with it.
Yep.
And so these things happen when you're wandering around on the web. It does take time.
Yeah, it does. Don't, you know, patience, grasshopper.
Patience, my backside.
That's
why you're better at it than I am. I'm impatient.
You mentioned about unwanted things on your, especially on your smartphone. And some of them, I was a couple of, when I had the Galaxy S7, there was a thing called, it was the Samsung Experience or something like that. Use your Samsung account.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with the S7, you could get rid of it and never have it come back. When the Note 8 came out and they changed over to Oreo.
Yeah, they won't let you do that.
Android, iOS Oreo, not iOS, good grief. Android.
You've got both in the house.
Yeah.
So you just
Android Oreo, which is the code name for the operating system. You can't get rid of the damn Samsung thing. And it's like Sam is like Bixby. I don't know a single living soul
that
who uses Bixby.
Yep.
But it's on every damn new Samsung phone, and it will pop up because there's a key on the phone that is mapped to bring up Bixby, which is another Siri or Google lady or what was the joke reference that was very subtle? I think it was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. It was something about it was either Siri that actually works or something
Siri
like that.
Siri when it actually works. Yeah.
Like Siri when it actually works. That was pretty good.
By the way, I've mentioned this previously. We are timelining the entire Marvel comic universe, including the TV shows. Now, we may skip Daredevil and Jessica, because we just recently watched Jessica Jones and Daredevil and Iron Fist and all those.
We'll get back to those when more comes out.
But as far as the movies themselves, when you watch them in sequence, all in the space of a couple of weeks, all of a sudden, all these very cool
dots start connecting. Makes a whole lot more sense. Yeah.
Especially the stingers, the little snippets at the mm-hmm. very end mm-hmm. of the movies start making sense, because now if you are not a big fan or you don't want the spoiler, cover your ears, but the main bad guy throughout this entire Marvel Universe arc, big blue fella name of Thanos, you start seeing references to him all the way back in Iron Man 3.
Yep.
And the original Avengers movie.
Right.
Is where you see the first reference to him. Now, I am not a complete Marvel nerd. I am an electronics nerd. But the thing that gets me is between Iron Man 2008 and the latest release, Avengers Infinity War, the credits keep stretching out. And it's not just because they're including the guy who drove the porta-potty wagon.
Right.
The army of people that it takes to produce those special effects.
Oh,
and,
yes,
of course, the audience wants bigger, faster, cooler special effects with every iteration. The army of people it takes to do that,
yeah,
just grows massively. And there's places that do just the suits. There's places that do nothing but the clouds or the water.
Right.
That is their specialty.
Or smoke or clouds,
yeah,
or whatever.
And
yeah,
then there's companies that put all these elements together. If you remember Lord of the Rings trilogy, they actually had to write a computer program that rather than hand draw all these little figures who are fighting on this gigantic battlefield, which would have been crazy expensive.
Yeah, crazy.
They created a computer program that made these little avatars who actually had a form of artificial intelligence and would react to what was going on around them. And it was called Massive. And it's being refined even more and more. But that's the magic of the movies is just simply amazing.
Yep, it's crazy. Technology at work.
Well, that's what this show is all about. And when we come back from the bottom of the hour break, we're going to bring you tech news that you can use, leading off with California leading the way on the strongest net neutrality law in the nation. We're going to talk about that after this. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC. Fresh air and new lasting friendships are hard to come by these days. Bikers Against Child Abuse will be escaping the valley for a weekend to ride through the forests near Shasta Lake, and you're invited. Every child deserves a great childhood, and by coming together, we can help prevent and end child abuse. Enjoy a weekend of fun by joining Bikers Against Child Abuse September 7th through the 9th at Lakeshore Inn and RV. The Shasta County Summer Campout will include overnight camping with cabins, a live band, and the scenic Shasta County ride, complete with a barbecue dinner. Festivities begin Friday with a meet and greet. Then, on Saturday, enjoy a ride. Meet up at 9:30, kickstands up at 10, arrive back around 2, and then the party begins. You won't want to miss the Bikers Against Child Abuse 3-day campout the weekend of September 8th. For more information, contact Bikers Against Child Abuse or call Terminator at 209-9473.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. And welcome back. You're listening to Boomer Tech Radio here on KCNR in Reading. Of course, we are also broadcasting to the world on our podcasts and via live streaming at KCNR1460.com. So you can take us anywhere. You can download the podcast off of Stitcher.
At your leisure.
At your leisure. Take us anywhere in your mobile device. Quick aside here before I get into the story I wanted to cover next. There's a local magazine here in Reading, maybe you've heard of it, called Enjoy. And it's got a real interesting cover. Enjoy the magazine, yes. It's got a real interesting cover in that it shows basically a torso shot of a firefighter. And, of course, firefighters are really, you know, this last month, firefighters have been very much on our minds, especially those who paid an ultimate price for protecting us. But what's interesting, what caught my eye, bolted securely to the helmet, which is being held under the arm of this particular firefighter, is a GoPro action cam. Something that it has become more and more ubiquitous. A lot of people who are in not just extreme sports, but hazardous occupations, they can go back. If something goes sideways, of course, they can go back and review the camera and see maybe where things started to go awry. So I found that very, very interesting.
Yes, definitely.
Smoke jumpers. Of course, they're basically adrenaline thrill junkie crazy guys.
Well, most first responders are.
Yeah. Are there any women smoke jumpers currently?
Absolutely.
Okay. And they have to carry.
They have to meet the same performance standards. They
jump out of a perfectly good airplane into a raging forest fire with about 100 pounds of gear strapped to them.
Well, don't think that they actually jump into the forest fire. They don't jump into flames or anything like that. No, they will jump nearby.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. You know?
Yes.
Oh, but
and most of the time, it's not some raging inferno. They don't do that kind of stuff. In spite of what Hollywood has, that's not how it works.
Oh, dear. Raging infernos. What is California doing? I have to scratch my head.
Now, see, I am not finding that article you're referring to, but that's
okay.
Okay.
I just put it. All the articles that we talk about here on Boomer Tech Radio, and you may need to close it and reopen it to refresh.
I didn't even get into it until after you posted it, and it's not showing on my tech. Tech
should be about
the
three,
tech one either. But
three
anyway.
Panels in to... Well, that's interesting. It should be about three panels into the Boomer Tech Radio magazine. Where will you find Boomer Tech Radio magazine? Well, all you have to do is download Flipboard from your favorite resource, whether it be Apple or Android system, and then subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio, the magazine. And articles that we like to talk about, which are curated from other sources, will be right there. And that's what we use as a lot of our source material, since we don't have a massive legion of reporters going out and about to pick up on our stories. This one from CNN Money talks about
California is close to enacting the nation's strongest net neutrality law. Now, we have talked about net neutrality in that your carrier, your internet service provider, under the terms of a net neutrality law, which used to be enforced by the FCC, cannot favor any traffic. In other words, Joe Blow's website gets the same speed of content delivery as Netflix or, in the case of Comcast, their own movie service, and same with AT&T. So these mega corporations under net neutrality can't cut these sweetheart deals. For instance, if you were on a Comcast-type system and you were getting something from, this is all examples, Netflix or Amazon Prime, those services couldn't be throttled back or restricted in order to give favorable access to someone they had a deal with. That the internet, the concept is that the internet needs to be open and free and accessible to everybody regardless of the business connection.
So California's law, it restores that net neutrality that Obama had, but
on
it goes
paper.
Even further.
Right.
Yeah, on paper. The California deal says it will prohibit what they call zero rating of specific apps. And what that does is it allows for the use of some services, but not others, without it counting towards the subscriber's data allotment. And so major players are at some advantage in this case. So, for instance, things like an internet provider should still be able to offer free data on all music streaming apps, for instance, if they choose to do so. They, under the loss of net neutrality, that's not necessarily going to happen. In this case, they would make it law. The whole thing is, though, that the folks that opposed this in California said, look, what we're doing is creating a mini Federal Communications Commission here in the state of California to counteract what is federal law.
Under the Constitution, the federal government regulates interstate commerce.
Right.
It does not regulate in communications. We have a California telecommunications. So now you have to decide, and this is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. Trust
Unlikely.
Me. Is this
undoubtedly?
Is
me.
This interstate commerce, or is it a common carrier that falls under that can
state.
Be under state regulation?
Right. So this has
and
been
the
one of the
battle
biggest,
is epic.
Oh, it is, and this is one of the biggest debates that even occurred before net neutrality or the repeal of net neutrality or what have you. So the as the people that opposed it said, this is something that needs to be taken up on a national level, not state by state. Otherwise, you end up with all these little fiefdoms in the state that have different rules and regulations, and that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It is probably not very consumer-friendly, because what happens when you take your cell phone, for instance, across state lines? All of a sudden, now are there different restrictions because you're,
exactly.
You're on, and that's why I think that this probably isn't going to fly very well. And the other part about that is it's a timing issue. There's only so much time left for the state legislature to get things pushed through, or it has to wait till next year with this thing. So it's not clear exactly how far this is going to get in California, but stay tuned.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of game of chicken taking place
mm-hmm.
here.
It's political.
Very political. And the legislators are banking that the service providers will blink and roll over and say, okay, everybody gets everything. The other scenario is that they say, fine, we're done investing. If you're going to turn around and make it impossible for us to do a profitable business, we are going to stop investing in your state, and you're going to live with the stuff you've got. And when it all clogs up, too bad.
Yep.
Now, I don't see either scenario actually coming about. I think there will be a lot of wrangling.
Probably.
Until a consensus comes.
California isn't the first state to try and change net neutrality on their own. There's two other states that have done that. But California's rules are the strictest, the toughest. So it gets some notoriety for that. But again, if they don't act upon it soon, then it'll all have to wait until January 2019.
The And this is the second time a major law regulating the Internet has passed. In June, they passed Internet privacy legislation giving European-style controls over personal data. Major technology players, including Facebook, Google, and Amazon, all lined up against it. And here's an example of if you overplay the hand, it's going to bite you. Seattle. All of a sudden told Amazon that every employee, because they're building the new data center up there, and Seattle says every employee will make, we're going to tax you $2 extra a year for every employee you have. And Amazon stopped building it was either Amazon or Google. I'll have to look that up. But they stopped building and said, we will take our marbles and go someplace else.
Right.
And the city council of Seattle said, wait a minute, we can talk.
Yeah, economically, it made sense for them to say, no, don't think so. We'll go elsewhere where we don't have this problem.
Imagine if some law passed that Apple really, really couldn't stomach, and they pulled out all that money. From the, you know, and they just
Silicon
said,
Valley.
We're leaving the spaceship campus.
We're leaving Cupertino.
In fact, we're launching the spaceship and it'll land someplace else.
They may just take it to space. Yeah. I don't know. That's a possibility. I'm being facetious, of course, but still.
So it's great to say, well, we pass laws to do this and we pass laws to do that. And we're going to penalize anybody who makes a buck. But that can ultimately turn around and bite you.
So. We were talking about Chrome. Did you know that Chrome is 10 years
old?
Yeah,
I saw that.
That's as old as our show.
Mm-hmm. Google Chrome was first announced 10 years ago today, easily one of the most important products released by Google. And it gave an alternative because about the time that Chrome came out, you had Firefox was around, which... A lot of people are big fans of Firefox web browser. It still holds a significant market share. But, oh, man, is it quirky at times. And it's like, okay, backtracking a little bit more. Firefox is a lot like the Linux operating system. And I have somebody who listens to this show who says, you know, everybody should be on Linux. Let me tell you something. I installed Linux on an old laptop. And to get anything done on Linux takes 10 times longer. Yes, it's more efficient. Yes, it's more compact. Yes, it runs on cheaper hardware. It runs faster, yada, yada, yada. But I waste so much time trying to get anything accomplished in Linux that I just turn around and walk away. Your average consumer isn't going to put up with that.
No, it's more like the DOS days. Dealing with Linux is much more like dealing in the DOS world, where you have to know the commands, and you have to
open the terminal, type sudo get app, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
right.
blah.
There's a lot more. And Windows are so much easier, right? Or icons. Click on an icon. So it's more of a develop. I think Linux is great if you're more in the developing or programming
end.
There's definitely a place for it. I mean, it's not like it's worthless and nobody should ever use it. That isn't the deal.
For sure.
It definitely has its pluses.
We have a couple of Linux boxes here at the radio station. They have one or two jobs. We set them up and then leave them alone.
But you're not going to go check your email on these things on a regular basis.
You can if you know what you're doing.
Right. But my point is most people are going to want to open their tablet, hit an icon, and boom, there it is.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
You're not going to go through the rigmarole that you have to in Linux.
Yeah. Or to install. I have a version of Linux on this laptop called Ubuntu Studio. And just to get sound out of the stupid thing has turned into this hair-tearing exercise. Your average consumer doesn't want to mess with this. And Linux snobs, and you know, knock yourselves out. But the average consumer isn't going to put up with it. Our boss here at the radio station, our tech guru, who isn't me, put Linux on his computer, and the boss was ready to throw the thing out into the street and watch cars run over it. He was so frustrated.
The days and beginning use of computers, you
exactly,
know.
Exactly. You know,
and so. Now we get spoiled by Windows and icons and
Windows 10
favorites and all kinds of stuff.
Windows 10 is a pain in the But
I think
with
so.
The updates. However, you have a reasonable expectation of the damn thing working.
Well, there's that, right?
You know.
And you don't really have to do much. You can click on something, and there it takes you to where you want to go.
Yeah. The beauty of Chrome, of course, is that it is the world's most popular web browser. It has a operating system that is a derivative of it that moves into a rapidly growing ecosystem of laptops. There's actually, if you want just a carry around, if it falls on the floor, you're not going to cry. There's a growing market of these low-cost web surfing, web application-based laptops called Chromebooks that are just dandy. In fact, schools are right. abandoning
Opting
the iPad
for those,
in favor
yeah.
of Chromebooks.
If nothing else, cost is a big issue there.
When even the cheapest iPad costs about as much as two entry-level Chromebooks.
It's a no-brainer why a school would
And has a keyboard and has a place to plug in a USB key, at the very least, maybe an SD card, none of which any of the iDevices can do because they want you stuck in Apple's ecosystem.
Right.
Use the iCloud for everything. This assumes
right.
that you are constantly tethered to the Internet.
Right.
Some of us aren't, boys and girls.
Some of us don't want to be.
Some of us don't want to be constantly tethered to the Internet. So I right now in my workshop at home, I have an old Mac tower, Mac Pro tower I'm working on. So it's got the old, it's got OS X. I've got my MacBook, which runs Mac OS. I think I'm up to, I don't think I've moved to Mojave yet. I think I'm still in High Sierra. I've got my main computer, which is running Windows 10. I've got the Linux box I talked about earlier. And then I've got this micro PC, this Wintel micro PC that I'm setting up for another application. So
you got a little bit of everything.
I do. I do have a little bit of everything. And just as a somebody who works on your car, our guys at Advanced Automotive, do you think they only have one wrench and one screwdriver
yeah, exactly.
in their toolbox?
Right. And they all have their different purposes. It's just like different cars. You know, buying a pickup doesn't necessarily meet all of your vehicle needs or be the best choice. It might be for you, but for the next person, they don't have need of a pickup.
We have our big, burly SUV for towing around the boat, but it costs a bunch to drive it around. And then we've got our electric road louse.
Yep. Well, it's not quite a road
It's
louse.
A hybrid road louse.
Yeah, it's a road rat, maybe. It's
road
not
rat.
Quite a louse size.
Which, by the way, we're still discovering things about.
Oh, yeah. You've got to read the book.
We were digging around.
Talk about technology.
Yeah, digging around in our Prius. And I was, when we first got the Prius, which was secondhand to us, I was lamenting because, what? This thing doesn't have a USB port? How caveman, how Neanderthal. Well, the USB port's hiding someplace else, you know, not under the console. It does, however, have two DC-12, what used to be, if you say cigarette lighter outlet, people just stare at you. Because nobody uses cigarette lighters anymore. You know, the electric
Yeah,
ones.
They don't even come in the
yeah,
cars
they don't even
with
come
those
with
anymore.
The thing. It's
yeah, they just
the port.
It's a port, yeah, with a little cover on it now.
For good reason, because if you drop something down there. But that's where you plug in your stuff. And we found the USB port in the Prius. We're like, yay!
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah,
woo-hoo!
It is.
That's important stuff.
It is.
Kind
it
of
is.
An awkward location, but...
Yeah, and it's in the front of the flip-up
you can't
console,
even see it.
So you can't...
You have to kind of do everything by feel.
You have to have the lid open.
Yeah.
And then you got to bang your elbow into the lid.
Well, I'm wondering if you can't shut the lid and the cord will kind of...
I'll see how tight,
yeah,
see if it doesn't cut the cord in half.
We'll have to figure it out. They might have a little cord tray through there, but we'll see. We have yet to investigate since mm-hmm. we just discovered it. It was supposed, I read in the book that it was there, and I didn't think it was there. And Bob poked around down in there and says, yeah, it's here. He says, but too bad there's no USB port. I said, well, if there's the power plug-in, then what's this over here? Lift a little cover. And I can't see anything. I'm doing this all by feel. It's like, well, here it is. So might have to mount some kind of thing in there permanently that just dangles outside of the console. I'm not sure. We'll figure it out. It's always fun poking around in a new car. Well, new to us. No, it's not new, but it's new to us.
Just as you thought you had your computer tamed and it was going, it was behaving itself, it's time for another Windows 10 update.
When isn't it time for a Windows 10 update?
Well, this is the major...
Because if you leave your computer off for a week, you know, you better just turn it on and walk away for a couple hours because you're going to get all the security stuff.
That's right, folks. The last operating system you will ever need, quote unquote,
right,
gets another major face painting in October. The previously codenamed Redstone 5. Redstone 5. Sounds like a spy novel. The Windows 10 October 2018 update will show up sometime, presumably, in the month of October, featuring things like a new cloud clipboard that syncs across your machines, a dark theme file explorer. In other words, rather than the traditional white background, you know, gray background with dark, you could have a dark background with light-colored text and stuff like that on it, which some people like.
Yeah. I mean, the first computer screens were like that. They were green or gray with white lettering.
Improvements to Microsoft Edge, which everybody will still ignore in favor of Chrome. And performance information in the Xbox game bar. So you see they're kind of skewing things again towards that. They want you to buy the Xbox and tie your PC to the Xbox or play Xbox games.
Right, so they can track your every move.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they do. This does not come free. Some of this stuff gets is big data that's collected on you, not necessarily personally identifiable, but that part's annoying.
Even as the October update is, the October surprise is being rolled out, the following update in April. So this has been our pattern, April, October. We still don't know what features are ahead in future releases of Windows operating system. But and here's what I do. I keep automatic updates turned off as much as possible. You keep having to go back and turn them off.
Oh, yeah.
And I always wait for some number of days after the release is rolled out because Microsoft has inadvertently bricked a few machines. you get stuck in the endless update loop, and then you're just sort of stuck.
And all of this is automatic. You don't really have much choice. In Windows 10, you don't get the choice of when to upgrade.
You do not.
It's done for you. Automatically.
It is.
That is a bit annoying.
Article here from CNET Magazine, real quick, as we move up towards the top of the hour. I have Siri on this iPad. I don't think I have ever used Siri on my iPad because I just automatically grab for my Note 8 and say, hey, G-Lady.
Yeah, okay, G-Lady. I tried that the other day and I didn't get very far. I'm not sure what's going on. Well, I mean, I didn't
because it's just a habit.
My Google Assistant was not working well.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Again, back to the joke of it's like Siri when it works. With iOS 12, Siri is getting smarter. Siri will, in this update, show you any of the passwords you have saved to your iCloud keychain.
Isn't that special?
It does figure out who you are. You have to pass the FaceTime test before it will. Somebody can't just pick up your phone and say, hey, give me all my passwords.
Yeah.
Which would be a bad thing.
More like, hey, give me all the passwords for that's right. Yeah, that would not be a good thing.
Just ask Siri, show me my passwords or show me my password for, say, Facebook, and Siri will deliver the goods. Now, this may be, if you don't, more reasons than ever to make sure you lock your silly phone.
Definitely. Yep. For sure.
All right. We are coming up on the end of our first hour of Boomer Tech Radio. And when we come back, we've got more of the tech news you can use. Of course, we're live in studio, 530-605-4567, or you can pop into the KCNR 1460 chat room and ask a question, make a comment, back after this. Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program.
But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrup. A final send-off for Senator John McCain today in Washington. Bob Agnew has more.
For most Americans, their final opportunity to offer tribute to Senator John McCain.
Welcome to this house of prayer for all people.
At Washington National Cathedral.
It is an honor to host this service for Senator McCain.
In a service filled with dignitaries, perhaps the most moving came from McCain's daughter, Megan, who paid tribute to her father's love of country.
Like so many other heroes, you leave us draped in the flag you love. You defended it. You sacrificed it. You have always honored it.
And two former U.S. presidents on hand to honor Senator McCain, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. Bob Agnew, Washington.
McCain will be buried in a private service tomorrow at the U.S. Naval Academy. California's Assembly and State Senate adjourned before midnight Friday after voting to let power companies raise electric bills to cover the cost of lawsuits from last year's deadly wildfires. Lawmakers also voted to allow the release of records when police are found to have improperly used force or discharged a firearm, committed sexual assault on the job, or have been dishonest in their official duties. The bills now all go to Democratic Governor Jerry Brown for his consideration. President Trump warning Canada it'll be out of a revised North American trade agreement unless it's fair to the United States. Trade expert Phil Levy says the president either doesn't understand NAFTA or is practicing the art of the deal.
I think it shows that the president has fundamental misunderstandings about, you know, what NAFTA did for the country. On the other hand, that's been a very popular stance that he's taken. It also looks like there's a significant element of him trying to strengthen his bargaining position.
Talks are to resume later in the week. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
Aretha Franklin was so hard-nosed in her business dealings that she demanded to be paid in cash before performing. So it may come as a surprise that the singer died without a will.
As Aretha Franklin's family members move on from Friday's funeral, where Ariana Grande sang one of the Queen of Soul's famous songs, they're left with the potentially tall task of finding out how many millions she was worth and divvying it up. Since Franklin did not leave a will under Michigan law, her four sons will inherit equal shares of their mother's wealth, but it could take years to even determine how much that is. Franklin wrote a few of her most classic songs, including Think, and earned money from them, but got next to nothing for many of her biggest hits, including Respect. I'm Julie Walker.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The Army says the Dakota Access Pipeline should go ahead.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers completed more than a year of additional study of the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline, saying the work substantiated its earlier determination that the pipeline poses no significant environmental threats. A U.S. district judge had ruled that the Corps largely complied with environmental law in permitting the Energy Transfers Partners pipeline. But the judge ordered more study because he said the agency didn't adequately consider how an oil spill under the Missouri River might affect the Standing Rock Sioux tribe. But the Corps said in its filing Friday that the chance of an oil spill is low and that minority and low-income populations are not at greater risk. Keith Peters reporting.
Colombian prosecutors have charged 13 Chiquita Brands International employees with aiding a right-wing death squad that murdered hundreds of people from 1996 to 2004. Some of the money allegedly used to buy hundreds of machine guns. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. And hello once again. This is Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
Back for hour two of Goodies, Gadgets, Gizmos, and Tech News You Can Use. Brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. We are live in the studio today. 530-605-4567. Or you can jump in the chat room, kcnr1460.com. I manage to look over there every once in a while because at the moment I am looking at my co-host as she flips through her tablet and I flip through my tablet. It's sort of like family at a restaurant. Now we're both focused on our screens and occasionally we actually communicate with each other.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing when you go to a coffee shop now and you got like six young people around the table, and every one of them's focused on the screen.
And then they talk to each other,
too. The building could fall down around them.
Well.
Oh, dear me. Boomer Tech Radio Magazine is where, of course, you can find a lot of our stories. BoomerTechRadio.com is where we post the edited versions of the show, and then we send them out through iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, all kinds of...
I think that's it.
That's it.
That's enough.
Well, Google Podcasts,
you can find
us. The new... It used to be through the Google Play Store, but Google Podcasts now scoops up content from everywhere and presents it to people. So that's kind of nice. And, of course, all you have to do is ask your smart device to play the Boomer Tech Radio podcast, and by golly...
It should find it.
Find it.
That's amazing.
Now, that's kind of cool.
We're just a little, you know, a little outfit.
Mm-hmm. More and more musicians are using artificial intelligence to create their work, to augment their work. Now this is interesting. It's a viable tool that can and is being used by producers to help in the creative process. This raises the question, of course, can artificial intelligence one day replace musicians entirely? I don't think so, any more than computer-generated graphics can replace actors
completely. At least for now.
Right. Now, maybe artificial intelligence can replace the talk show host. That's entirely possible. Interesting article, though, in The Verge. There's David Bowie back in the 1990s. He helped create an app which took literary source material, randomly reordered the words to create new combinations to use as lyrics.
Oh.
Now, that's lyrics. Interesting. Yeah.
So not the music itself, but the actual lyrics.
Yeah. In 2016, researchers at Sony used a software called Flow Machine to create melodies in the style of the Beatles. That material then turned over to a human composer, Benoit Carré, and developed into a fully produced pop song. So we've come a long way from when I was new in the broadcast and music industry. I wasn't really in the music industry, but if you're in the broadcasting industry, you are by extension part of the music industry. When songs were mastered on 24-track magnetic tape and then mixed down and released on vinyl.
Right.
How far have we come?
But that was a medium that was in place for a very long time.
Yeah.
You know, recent developments have actually accelerated the way that we do these things to the point of where now the medium is just essentially wires.
Yeah.
Where you stream things. You don't even have a record or a CD or anything like that.
And, of course, musicians have made use of sequencers. Beginning with the very venerable now MIDI, musical instrument digital interface, connections that allow various instruments to talk to each other. You can sample songs. You can create all new tunes using nothing but instruments that are sampled into a computer.
Right.
And you make a simulation of the music. And it is almost impossible. Actually, not almost. It will be impossible to tell the difference whether it is a person actually strumming a guitar or
a computer
doing it.
Yeah, using that sound.
Now, there's people like, well, it's never going to be the same. It'll always have a sterility. It'll always have a perfection. Like CDs don't have that warmth around them.
Right.
That digital music can't come anywhere close. And that may be some truth and some arrogance.
Yeah,
maybe
possibly.
A little fear.
Could be.
There are systems including IBM's Watson Beat, Google Magenta's NSynth Super, JukeDeck, MeloDrive. Spotify has a creator technology research lab and what's called Amper Music. And these are all artificial intelligence systems that create, that augment the process of creating music. And these are no more not legitimate than the introduction of the Moog synthesizer was back in the 1960s.
Yeah, there were
people
artists
said that isn't really music.
It follows music principles, however.
On that same theme, when the movie Day the Earth Stood Still or Forbidden Planet?
One or the other. The Theremin?
Featured music by the Theremin. And because the people who were running the Theremin were not part of the film industry's very powerful musicians union, they couldn't call it music. It was like sound
effects.
It was sound visualizations or something
like
something like
sound effects or something like that. They couldn't call it music.
Yeah, it couldn't be called music. Well, one of the first one of my favorite songs, of course, is "Video Killed the Radio Star," where they actually use a version of it where it's played on a theremin, and a theremin is an electronic device dating back to the 1950s that operates on the principle of if you have a what's called an oscillator and you bring your body into proximity with the antenna, you change the frequency of the output. And a skilled theremin player, who we went to see, unfortunately, he didn't play more than just one or two songs.
I know, it was so disappointing.
I'd go to a whole,
Oh, I'd go to hours of a theremin. They're just utterly fascinating. And if you're wondering what a theremin looks like, look it up. Google it.
Yeah, Google
right?
it. Yeah.
And it's the one that makes the
yeah, that kind of famous
noises.
1950s
yeah,
sound.
Spaceship,
yeah.
You know, UFO thing. And they, I think they
Day the Earth Stood Still was a big example of that. The original, not the Keanu Reeves.
redo or whatever.
Yeah.
Did they use that in horror movies, too, later on?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Spooky movies?
Mostly it was anything to do with aliens, though. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
It became the signature sound.
And if you're wondering how to spell theremin, it's, I think it's T-H-E-R. Now I got to look it up.
T-H-E-R-E-M-I-N, I think. But so the whole point here is that artificial intelligence, in very subtle ways, is having a stronger and stronger influence on our creative process. It is not replacing the creative process. It's an extension of the creative process. And I'm the first to tell you that even back in the 1980s, which was when I was really doing the music thing on radio, the corporations were churning out manufactured pop stars with formulaic hits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That if we do this, 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 and this, it will be a hit because our research shows that that will be. And so there, along came a lot of the bubblegum pop stuff that annoys us to this very day.
So the theremin is named after one Leon Theremin patented the device in 1928.
Oh, okay.
And it's spelled Theremin, T-H-E-R-E-M-I-N, pronounced Theremin. And at least that's how I've always heard it. You can buy one today. It's no problem. And it's just kind of this box.
There's kits to build your own. Yeah,
yeah, it's just this box, basically, that has a vertical antenna on it and then a horizontal loop antenna on opposite ends of the box. And you can, they just, it's really weird because it looks very ethereal because the player just moves their hands a certain
right.
way.
Wave your hands in the air like you just don't care.
Yeah, sort of like that. But it's really interesting. And so these have been around for quite a while. It's interesting to hear classical music played on them. And there's all kinds of YouTube videos and mm-hmm. things like that where people are playing these things. But Mr. Theremin was a Soviet inventor.
Ah, yeah.
So he was Russian, and pretty interesting type of thing going on. So it was invented in 1920, but he patented his device in 1928.
Well, I see a great example of it. YouTube, look for Theremin Video Killed the Radio Star.
It's a lot of fun.
Lots of fun to watch. I was just noticing on The Verge here. Now, in conjunction with her the job that pays, Brenda has had occasion to talk to several members of the new media. To give an inside story here, Brenda never had much use for media people.
I
Who
still
did
don't.
She end up marrying?
I still don't, except that I married one.
Yeah.
With certain attitudes and whatnot, but you're not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You are old school journalists.
You know, people talk about...
You take a much more scientific method approach than...
There's a lot of hyperbole around this recent fire and the phenomenon that took place during the fire, which is now officially called a fire tornado. And things like, well, this is the first time we've ever seen this. Well, it's probably not the first time it's ever happened anywhere. But it's the most documented instance
right.
of this phenomenon. When you put enough heat and mass in the air that it rises up and creates what amounts to an F3 tornado.
That's the kind of epic part of that is the strength of the damaging winds. And that mm-hmm. it was not just the fire itself. There are there's very strong evidence of just pure wind damage out there. No fire damage. It was all done by the wind.
So let's take a F3 tornado and load it with 2,300 degree gases. Come on, and we do not make too much light of this because it took a couple of lives.
Well, yes, but.
But the sheer devastation.
Oh, yeah.
But this was so well documented. There's people going to be getting a PhD as a result of studying this. And I don't even know what the duration was. Did it go for?
It went for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. Traveled quite a ways. I forget what the statistics are, but it's readily available in what's called a green sheet. I believe that's online somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Carfire green sheet.
Yeah.
Google that while we're Googling things this old episode.
Yeah, by the way, if
should be able to find
people
it.
Make all kinds of presumptions about, well, this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. This is these reports, because any time that there is a fatality on one of these incidents, they do, just like the NTSB goes into a plane crash if there's a fatality, Cal Fire or other agencies conduct an in-depth investigation. And this thing came out pretty fast. Conduct an in-depth investigation into what went wrong and maybe how do we keep it from happening again.
Well, there are prescribed time frames for these things. Whenever there is an investigation, there's X number of hours. There has to be a certain amount of information presented, and then, you know, another X number amount of time goes by, and then they have another report due, and then ultimately there will be a final report as to all of that, and a big write-up, and that will take months.
Yeah.
But they have the 24-hour report, which is just reporting maybe just a few facts about, you know,
yeah,
there was a fire and people died, you know, yeah, that kind of thing. And then there's a longer report with a little more details. The green sheet has quite a few details, and then you'll find the green sheet information contained in a much longer report with a lot more details.
But this event will be this topic of a book or two, I'm sure.
Oh, probably. I could envision John McClane coming out and doing something on this fire. He does a lot of that kind of stuff, kind of on the human side as opposed to the
right.
Hard side.
Is he the one who wrote that Young Men in Fire book that was based on an incident? Is that the incident that you – that's not the incident that you were on the investigation?
I thought that was I've forgotten now. Gosh, it's been a while.
But you used to be part of these long-term investigations, right?
I have done some, yes.
It's
very sad that we have to keep doing them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we don't know these things. There's, you know, the Granite Mountain Hot Shots is another one. There was a movie about that.
Yeah, yeah.
The Young Men in Fire is about the Mann Gulch Fire, mm-hmm, which was in 1949.
That's a bit before your time.
Yeah, that's just east of Missoula. I know where the area is. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about that fire is there was a guy that knew what to do, and he was not able to convince other people or to sufficiently communicate to them, this is what we need to do and to be safe. He was safe, and one person or two people, I think, that stuck with him were safe, but the rest of them perished.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a very interesting. He understood fire at a level that a lot of people didn't at that time. So anyhow, it's low tech there. No tech there.
So we have a lot of people predicting that these catastrophic events will become the new normal, stuff like that. We don't know yet. Brenda will be the first one to tell you we can't accurately predict the weather 2 months out, much less.
Oh, 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
Sometimes not even 2 days, people would say. And there's those that would say not even 2 hours. But but certainly not 2 weeks from now. You don't
probability.
Have high confidence. Yeah, yeah, you don't have high confidence in that. So who knows? It could work out that way. More research is required. And the great thing is that I hope to live long enough to find out what really happens, right?
Yeah. A lot of authors have made good money predicting the future.
Oh, yeah.
And that's sort of what weather forecasting is about, as Brenda will tell you. There was a time merry old England when weather forecasters were considered witchcraft.
Yes, it was considered witchcraft, and for forecasting the weather, you were put to death, was the sentence. That was, I find that quite interesting because, yeah, you know, people have been trying to figure out the weather for millennia.
Mm-hmm. Most powerful computers we have they can come kind of close, but Mother Nature gets the last laugh. A lot of people try to think about the future. Now, I've mentioned on this program many times Alvin Toffler in his Future Shock, talking about the information overload. Marshall McLuhan, of course, with his Global Village, and the message is medium is the message. Neither one of them could possibly have envisioned the depth to which our communication and interconnectivity has basically, in the space of 10 or so years, really come to define our society and a great portion of our planet. So always looking forward, remember all the movies and predictions about end of the world coming with the end of the millennium? There were all kinds of stories about that.
Yeah. And it was the thing, we're all going to blow up at midnight on the year 2000, you know?
Of course, the future history novel that we pull up frequently, of course, is 1984. And a lot of people compare the fact that the director of the CIA has scotch tape over his camera on his laptop, and that surveillance is everywhere, and that the government seems to be more and more intrusive all the time, and the manipulation of news. We're talking about 1984. And that is often mentioned frequently. It is one of the most best known of the dystopian novels. Things in the U.S. haven't quite gotten to Orwellian novels, but surveillance, data privacy theft, and hackable laptop cameras all sort of eerily remind us that somebody said, yeah, this could happen. So there are a number of books, and I have mentioned some books that touch on a lot of things long before we had an internet. There were the Sprawl novels, and the author's name just went right out of my head.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that series.
Yeah, it's
going
to come
series.
Back to me in just the cyber. He termed the cyber cowboy, cyberspace, was actually his invention about living most of your life online. And so help me, I had the name on the tip of my tongue a moment. Doesn't age suck sometimes?
So is this the one where they had the avatars that went out in the real world while they stayed home?
Well, no, that's the movie with Bruce Willis called Surrogates.
Yeah.
The movie I'm thinking about is where you would actually jack into the computer and make your way through what is now clearly the internet. Now I have to look. During the break, I got to look up the name of.
This is interesting. The books that they have chosen in this list that's on the Flipboard article and the Boomer Tech Flipboard page. Of course, I would have expected that 1984 would be very close to the top of the list, and a lot of these are. Commentaries on political climates. Sinclair Lewis's It Can't Happen Here. Another one, Tom Clancy's Debt of Honor. And that was, these were published, although not that long ago, 1994 for that one. Super Sad True Love Story from 2010. That's quite recent. And that has to do with meeting people mm-hmm. online. Well, we met online long before that, so I don't know if that's particularly true. Feed by M.T. Anderson in 2002. Earth by David Brin in 1990. That's definitely an older
that's
one.
That's an interesting one in that people immerse themselves. Well, even Ray Bradbury in Fahrenheit 451, it had whole room-sized immersive television environments.
Yeah.
Because the main character's wife was all caught up in these interactive environments that had addressed you by first name, and you were lost in the stories, and it was a form of government control, actually. But she was talking about the expense of needing to get a fourth video wall screen.
Yes.
This was back in the 50s.
Yes. The Parable series by Octavia Butler, done 1993 through 98. Some of these themes are fairly recent themes. It's not like it was written in 1935 predicting these things. White Noise by Don DeLeo, I'm going to assume, is 1985. And one of the and Stand on Zanzibar by John Brunner in 1968. That's an older one. And what I'm struck here is they've also left out Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah. Well, there's a political
aspect. Well, there's here. Other very, yeah. Some of these are very, Sinclair Lewis's book is obviously very politically oriented in all this. Although we're not quite to Ayn Rand's stuff, there's elements parallels. In these other books that are parallels. Yeah. We
now,
can't pick them all.
What I was thinking of was William Gibson, who wrote several dystopian cyberpunk novels, but it wasn't Gibson who coined the term cyberpunk, actually, thanks to Google. Writer Bruce I can say Bethke, wrote a story about where you use the term cyberpunk in 1985.
And then there's...
1980, long before we had anything like an internet.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, even Asimov, he would take the latest high-level research and then put it into something that would, you look back on it and you go, wow, that was pretty based on knowledge.
Yep. Back with one more segment of Boomer Tech Radio right after this.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to ReadingDuckyDerby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Fresh air and new lasting friendships are hard to come by these days. Bikers Against Child Abuse will be escaping the valley for a weekend to ride through the forests near Shasta Lake, and you're invited. Every child deserves a great childhood, and by coming together, we can help prevent and end child abuse. Enjoy a weekend of fun by joining Bikers Against Child Abuse September 7th through the 9th at Lakeshore Inn and RV. The Shasta County Summer Campout will include overnight camping with cabins, a live band, and the scenic Shasta County ride, complete with a barbecue dinner. Festivities begin Friday with a meet and greet. Then, on Saturday, enjoy a ride. Meet up at 9:30, kickstands up at 10, arrive back around 2, and then the party begins.
You won't want to miss the Bikers Against Child Abuse 3-day campout the weekend of September 8th. For more information, contact Bikers Against Child Abuse or call Terminator at 209-9473.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneville. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Round back turn into the home stretch. Boomer Tech Radio is the name of the show here every weekend. The goodies and gadgets and gizmos and tech news you can use. That music, which we have used for the entire run of this show. I think for like three episodes, we did something from Blue Man Group, and then we stumbled on this and said, hey, this is our theme. Wrote the guy and said, can we use your song for our theme? And he said, sure, just pay me when you make some money.
Yeah, we haven't made any money yet.
Sent the check yet.
So it's been easy.
Yeah. 8-Bit Junkie is the name of the song. George Wood, the composer. And I think he's long since moved on to other sorts of things.
I believe so.
The show sort of embodies the spirit. I got really into this stuff about the time that Pong games were happening on tabletops. And back when that happened. Actually, I think I was in the Navy the first time I saw a Pong game. It was like, wow, that's cool.
First time I saw that, it was like, why would you spend your time doing something like that? I didn't like tennis to begin with. It was what it reminded me of.
Yeah. Along came a lot of Atari games.
Yeah, I still don't get it. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
Well, gaming pays a lot of people's bills.
Indeed. And there are people that make a, you know, very good living at designing games and that sort of thing. I guess I'm just not wired that way. I would rather go read a book.
Yep.
Explore something new. Learn something. Have an adventure.
My first laptop was like $1,400. It was a, and it had floppy drives. In fact, no, the first one had a cassette tape. But it was a TRS 200.
Yes, and I'm sure that you had to have the latest, greatest. You were early adopter, probably.
Had a LCD gray with black lettering screen. No graphics to speak of. A little clamshell, but it was like $1,400. And then you had to buy all the accessories and stuff for it. Brenda's first work laptop probably was a 286 or something along those lines.
Well, yeah. If you,
the battery was good for about... Was it a 486?
Yeah, we actually got a 486 at one point, yeah.
But your very first one that you had at work was probably a couple $1,000. And
oh, I'm sure. Most of the time I haven't had, this is until recently that I've actually had laptops to use probably the last 10 years or so.
Oh, okay.
But we had desktops, and we had to share. So the boss and I would fight and argue with each other who was going to do that. The word processing part of computers was a real... plus for me, because I avoided writing papers in college. I didn't take classes where I had to write papers because I was a horrible typist. And I just didn't enjoy that whole process with pushing everything around on paper. But if they had had word processors when I went to university, I would have been very happy to write papers. Much easier to write that way.
Now, it was a big
deal. And push things around.
There were two news stories from the 1980s and 90s that were big deals. The first one was in the price of RAM, random access memory, dropped below, get this, $1 a megabyte.
Now it's what, fractions of a penny?
Yeah.
A meg.
You can go pick up a 16 gig flash drive out of a bowl for less than $5. Cheaper if you shop around a bit. But it was a big cover story on CNET. The sub $1,000 laptop. And it was pretty bare bones.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays, $1,000 will get you one hell of a laptop.
Yeah, exactly.
Because what I call the calculator effect. But if you want an entry-level laptop that you can send the kid off to school with, or you just want one for traveling and you don't necessarily need to spend $1,200 on a MacBook Pro or one of the high-end machines. If all you got to do is check your email, watch a movie or two, listen to some music, compose, maybe write your book.
You don't need super powerful stuff.
Yeah. We talked about Chromebooks earlier and how they've been around for, how the Chrome operating system and browser has been around for around 10 years. But you can get a pretty good laptop for under $300. And we're going to list a few of them right here. The Samsung Chromebook 3 has a long-lasting battery that runs at 11 hours. And from Amazon, it'll just cost you $220.
Right.
That's the best overall pick.
And this article comes from Mashable, and they called that the best overall pick was the Samsung Chromebook 3.
So let's run from the they're broke down into different categories. For school kids, the HP Chromebook 11 Education Edition comes with 4 gigs of RAM and only 16 gigs of flash storage. But for $149, you can...
Can you believe that, $149?
Yeah. You've got a basically a tablet with a keyboard hanging off of it. You can use your if you need more storage, you plug in a USB key, which you can get for about $50. You can get a 256 gig USB 3 that packs around all kinds of stuff right there in your pocket.
Yep.
Next on the list for $220, the Samsung Chromebook 3.
We just talked about that.
Well, let's see here. Best overall.
Yeah, they've got them in a little different order than I think we did.
No, I've always been a fan of Dell. Of all the major computer manufacturers, Dell has been the one that's kind of stuck around. But I remember the days of Gateway, of all these other manufacturers. HP and Dell are the big manufacturers that hang around. IBM became Lenovo because the Chinese bought the small computers from them, lock, stock, and barrel. But for about $250, you get the Dell Inspiron 15.5-inch, 15.6. It comes with 500 gigs of hard drive storage.
That's not bad.
That isn't bad.
This one is labeled as best for traditionalists.
Yeah.
If you're expecting a traditional computer kind of experience, well,
this isn't the kind of thing you're going to maybe play Skyrim on or one of the very high demand games.
But it could be very useful for students.
Mm-hmm. If you want something that's really thin, really light, the Asus Chromebook, which... also comes with 16 gigs of flash storage.
Also, this was rated by Mashable as best for durability.
Mm-hmm. You can get it from Amazon for around $219. A lot of these are also available at Walmart.
Yep.
Or even, I've seen some of these on the shelf over at Costco. Although Costco, you never know from one day to the next what they're going to be hanging on to. The Acer Chromebook R11 convertible, which can either be an A-frame to use like a tablet, or you swing the clamshell around to use it as a traditional laptop. It's called a 2-in-1. Like most Chromebooks, it's got about 32 gigs of internal storage, but you can actually turn this thing around and use it like a flat tablet. Now, I had I still have somewhere in my pile of stuff, a Panasonic ToughBook. That, in fact, they show up prominently in the TV series Atlantis.
Mm.
They were all using ToughBooks as portable computers.
According to this article, best for simplicity is the HP 14 something or another Chromebook. It's $170, more or less, from Walmart. So it's, you know, the thing about this is it's a Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes with that caveat attached to it for saying the most affordable power. I think what they mean by that is the brain power. This
bang
is,
for the buck.
Yeah, right at $300 is a Lenovo IdeaPad 330. And
a whopping terabyte worth of storage.
Right, which is, you know, pretty decent by today's standards.
It has for ports USB-C, USB 3.0, HDMI, has a card reader, has a place to plug in your headphones, and you can also plug in a traditional hardwired network. A lot of these features vanish in the really low-end devices. They want you to wirelessly connect, and most of your stuff happens online. The whole idea with a Chromebook is that most of your storage and the heavy lifting takes place on a server that is distant from you, so
right.
You have to have a good connection to make it work.
Yep. That's definitely one of the things to keep in mind about that, for sure.
With the IdeaPad, you actually get yourself an Intel Core i3. That is considerably more power than any of the similarly priced books that use the Intel Celeron processor. So this is a machine that for under $300 is going to be a really good little. This is a good student computer if you're not playing Overwatch or something like
that.
Yeah,
exactly. And if so long as you have your data backed up, losing it is not going to break your bank for the most part.
Now, I'm trying to write a book and it's a slow going process, but I use Google Docs. The reason I'm using Google Docs rather than a single machine is I can work on it on my iPad for a while. I can sit down, pick up where I left off on my desk machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I can even look at it on my phone, although actually editing it on my phone would be problematic.
That
would
be quite awkward.
But it can be done. I could add a keyboard to the phone and keep on trucking. But I like the idea of being able to have the... Plus, if one computer is, say, lost in a fire, the document is safe.
Yes, exactly.
let's see here. So there's an idea of where you can get a decent little computer for not a lot of money. Maybe you want to start out doing some emails and stuff like that. Hard to go wrong with one of these, because if it doesn't work out for you, you haven't spent vast amounts of money. You mentioned this during the break. Dunkin' Donuts is adding voice ordering via Alexa. Oh, I said the name.
Oh, yeah, that probably triggered off someone's device.
So I won't state, hey, A-Lady, order some Dunkin' Donuts, because somebody would write me.
Which you can actually do, by the way.
Yeah. But if you are a Dunkin' Donuts Perks Reward Weather member and you have linked the mobile app, you can place an order right after your flash briefing and grab it on the way to work. Now, this is for obviously urbanite-type people who just happen to have a Dunkin' Donuts somewhere in the vicinity. But this is showing how we are anticipating being able to, and of course they're tracking marketing information from you and all that good stuff, but it's becoming easy and easier. I'm going to be able to order in Chinese food on my Echo.
Yeah. Is it going to be delivered by a driverless car?
the possibility if
in
you
a robotic in, from a robotic kitchen.
There are already pizza apps where you can say, "I want a pizza with this, 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 and this." Send it, and I think Domino's is working on that right now.
Wow.
Robotically
made and delivered.
Yep. We were talking about, yeah, you mentioned Asimov a little while back.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one of the books that he wrote among the many books was Fantastic Voyage.
Oh, yes.
Which was turned into a 1960s feature film with Raquel Welch. And it was about a submarine that they shrank down and injected into a patient to take care of a blood clot in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
They zap it with a laser and an amoeba comes along and it's, but in that theme, we have talked for a long time about nanobots that can be linked up in a swarm, injected into the bloodstream to perform complex medic. Now, this is like Star Trek stuff.
I know. This blows my mind. How does this work?
This is Borg stuff.
Yeah.
Inspired by flocks of birds and schools of fish, the team used a magnetic field to control the nanobots' movements and implement swarm behaviors. The nanobots change their form to whatever environment they're interacting with. They can reportedly extend, shrink, split, and merge. This could be possibly used for targeted drug delivery, cancer therapies, and eye surgeries. Now, this is probably scaring the living bejeebers out of some people. What could possibly go wrong at this point?
Well, or the other side of that is, where do they go when they're done with their job?
Well, the whole idea is that when these things are done with their job, they are eliminated from the body naturally. Either they break down into components that are flushed out, or they make their way through the gut and goodbye.
Well, that's another form of flushing, yes.
Yeah. Remember the story we covered about swarm technologies? Well, we're speaking of things that swarm. They launched the satellites without getting the okay to do so, and the FCC was very unhappy with them.
Oh, yes.
This was an American company that used an Indian company to launch their satellites. The FCC forced Swarm to disable the satellites, warned that the company's plans were in peril. Turns out, though, that time and good lawyers can heal the wounds. Swarm has received now the blessing of the FCC to reactivate the satellites. They cannot use it, but they are for experimental purposes. They cannot actually be put into commercial use. Swarm hopes next year they can get 100 satellites, which they call space bees, and build a low-cost space-based data network.
Right.
We're sort of making a 1996 version of the Internet, says the co-founder and chief executive of Swarm, but it will be everywhere, and anyone on the planet can afford it. So it's basically going to be like a dial-up service that you can get anywhere.
Yeah, Internet dial-up service, huh?
Now, there's the Iridium network. There are sat phones that have extremely slow data rates, but much faster than anything else that is currently available. But they're hideously expensive. The idea here is that with this infrastructure, instead of a few big, heavy, expensive satellites, you have a lot of little cheap satellites that are a couple of inches across that as they hit the end of their life, they burn up in the atmosphere and you simply pop a few more up in their place.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Although not the only ones trying this, Elon Musk's Space Exploration Technologies and a company called OneWeb, they want to send up hundreds of thousands of satellites to deliver broadband data speeds just about everywhere. Now, the whole idea is that if you've got all these bits and pieces flying around, who is controlling? Because if you've got an object in orbit, other objects in orbit that meet up with it, it's pretty catastrophic.
Yes, it is. So they have to make sure that stuff doesn't run into stuff.
Yeah.
And there are other satellites out there performing vital functions. And so, having some kind of traffic control for space would be an interesting thing. And think about this. If you could get broadband internet anywhere, I mean, you could be on a yacht in the middle of the ocean and have access to this kind of stuff. I mean, that is definitely what they call disruptive technology.
Yep.
That's a game changer.
Yeah, each of these satellites is about the size and shape of the fan in your computer. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of them right here on this page. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to see it if you go to boomertechradio.com and then follow the link on Flipboard. Yeah, there's the word I was looking for. These things aren't going to be streaming broadband. You're not going to be playing, you know, Fortnite or anything. But they will allow communications from remote areas for things like crop tracking, package tracking, and things of that nature.
Well, folks that live off-grid.
Health information.
Yeah, health information. Folks that live off-grid may be able to benefit from this. Areas in Alaska I can think of, for instance, you just have better telecommunications overall.
Yep. Swarm was founded in 2017. They've got about $3 million in seed funding, and they're working in a workshop there down there in Palo Alto. But this is the cutting edge stuff.
It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, GPS changed a lot of things for us to the point of where they shut down the Loran radio signal navigation system.
They didn't tear the sites apart.
They didn't tear the sites apart. They haven't destroyed the physical infrastructure. They merely turned it off. But as we know, we're one mass coronal ejection, big space weather storm.
From the 1890s.
away from having all of those modern-day things disabled, including Loran. But, gee, we might have to go back to the days of oldest sailing ships when you had a good chronometer and a compass. Take the noon fix with your sextant and have to go back to doing some calculations. Now I'm sure there's an app for that.
Mm-hmm.
Make it easy.
Now, there are still people who insist on using, will not let go of, using services like AOL and Yahoo.
Yeah, Yahoo.
Yahoo's email platform might have been purchased by Verizon last year, but not a lot changed at the company. Yahoo continues to scan the content of users' email in order to sell that information to advertisers. There are still 200 million users said to be affected by the potential privacy invasion. And Google does the same thing. Let's be right up front that. If you send a lot of emails about boat stuff, you see boat ads.
Yep.
If you're talking about overthrowing the planet, Google or any of these guys or Yahoo is probably not the place to carry on your plans of global conquest.
At least if you're going to do that, have the knowledge of how to go on the black web.
Yeah. But VPN, some people are creeped out by the, and I will admit that there's times when I'll look at that sidebar. I have yet to click on one of those things.
I don't bother. I'm usually off on some other mission. But I would ignore that anyway because I don't like unsolicited stuff.
But if I catch those ads and it's about something I was just talking about the other day, it's like, it's bad enough. I'll go to a website and there will be an ad for a thing that I looked for on another website.
Yeah.
Or it shows up in the middle of my Facebook feed.
Yeah, I don't get that. How come when I'm over here on the web in Chrome and it ends up over here on Facebook? How is that connected? I don't get it.
Perfect. I was looking up 4K cameras on the B&H website, which is a big company, B&H Photo out of New York.
Bell and Howell or something? No, that doesn't stand for Bell and Howell. They used to.
It did. but this is a big photo company.
Yeah.
Out of New York. The very next day on my Facebook feed, during one of the rare occasions when I actually looked at it, there was an ad for the product. And it was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Maybe it looks at your cookies.
Quite possibly. So if you still want to use Yahoo, you know, knock yourself out. More power to you. It's your computer. Just be aware that your information is being scanned.
Yep.
I understand that when I use Gmail, my stuff is scanned, but I'm a singularly boring person in that regard. I'm not buying pressure cookers or anything like that. So
bomb-making components?
Yeah. And I don't look up how do I make a nuke or anything along those lines. Anything that might... and I don't threaten to off some public figure.
That would not be wise.
Or trade if weapons of mass, anything. So anyway, that's all the time for this week. It is, as always, a great pleasure to bring you this program. BoomerTechRadio at gmail.com. Go to BoomerTechRadio.com to follow the shows, or go to Flipboard and check the BoomerTech Radio magazine. Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles, and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard, because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.